All right, folks, here we go. Another week is coming gone. It's the look back, the week 7. I said the Eagles did not play this past week. They were on a bye. Their bye came earlier this year, much earlier, so, you know, it's all good. But obviously, we saw a lot of good football this weekend, and obviously, you know, things were what it is. As you have known on a previous show, Matt is on vacation in Thailand. He will not return until next week, which means it's just me and Kwame for this week doing the show. And like I said, I mean, we still going to have good dialogue. Like I said, it was Matt who went on vacation last year. I forgot where he went already because it was last year, where Kwame filled in as a then fill-in. And a lot of people liked what they saw, heard from him. And now he's on permanently on Wednesday. So, like I said, it's all good. It's all good. So, like I said, as we begin this week 7 look back, obviously the Eagles being off, you know, it kind of gives us a chance to tour. But before we get to this past week, Howie Roseman has done it again. He's pulled off a big-time trade for a big-time player that's going to immediately help this team in Robert Quinn from the Chicago Bears. So your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say it was news to me. I was unaware of him before. I got the news, ironically, from our buddy Lawrence, who is a Bears fan.
Really?
That's why I went watching the game Monday night. He was.
I thought he was just doing that just for his picks thing. I thought you had to cheer for his picks. You mean he's actually a Chicago Bears fan?
Yeah, and it's Giants and Bears. Giants and Bears.
That was a violation. Two NFC teams, a violation.
And so he sent me the text. I said, "Oh, let me go look that up. What's NFL.com?" I said, "Well, okay, well, it won't hurt us. Fourth round pick." I just asked Lawrence what was wrong with him. You know, I asked him to open my group chat, and one of my other guys, Cowboys fan, responds. He just said that he's, you know, a little older and not as fast as he used to be. I said, okay, on our team, we're going to make him great. He'll be a star for us because he'll fit right in for what we need. And all we need from him is just a couple pressures, a sack every other game. That's all we need, just to make the offense have to keep an eye on him. So I am happy. Go ahead, Howie.
Yeah. Howie's, like I said, he knows what he's doing, and give him a lot of credit. And how about this? What's even cooler is he was only a fourth round pick they gave up for, which is even more. Yeah. That's like a steal. That's a steal. I would assume. When you trade for someone of his caliber, and he's had a solid career in this league, playing for the Rams as well before the Bears, he should be worth.
Pro Bowler.
What?
I saw he's a 3-time Pro Bowler.
Yeah, he played for the Rams as well, and obviously the Bears here. He should be worth a second round pick at least, but they got a fourth rounder for him. Like the Bears, they didn't fleece the Bears, but it's almost like, damn. What the hell? But congratulations again to Howie. You know, it's just amazing what he does. He can find these talents and get the right compensation for it. So, you know, that's great and it's all good. And I expect Quinn to fit in very well. Obviously, we lost Derek Barnett opening week to a knee injury, and obviously. There's been a kind of a small void at his position, at the defensive end position. So this just comes into the rotation, and like I said, it's another big time name that's going to obviously help the Eagles in the rotation and help it with the pass rush that's already very good.
Yeah, that's definitely something that's needed, especially with, like I said, the loss of Derek. We'll see how it goes. There's nothing negative I could say about this. Fourth round pick, great. I'm just really surprised that the Bears did it after that big win. I would have expected that after a big loss, they got
I don't think the Bears are going anywhere significantly. I mean, that was a very impressive win. We all got to see that on Monday, and obviously they're still in the mix in a tight NFC. But remember, the NFC is still relatively weak. There's still value and stuff, and maybe they're still kind of not expected to be in the postseason or anything like that. But in an NFC that's not very, very deep, once you get past the NFC East, at least, it's just a crapshoot. Every other division's a crapshoot right now. And, you know, give a lot of credit where credit's due. I mean, I the Bears, they're not the worst team in football. Obviously, Matt would on here would obviously say otherwise. He's not a big fan of this team. But, hey, they're getting it done. They got it done on Monday night, and we'll see what happens with them. But obviously, it is a tough loss. You know, their guy Roquan Smith was very upset because that's his homeboy. That's a guy that he looks up to and works with his entire career. So he was very emotional when he heard that he was being dealt. So it's a tough deal. You know, it's still, you know, like I said, but like I always say, and you know, I always say this: it's a business. It's only a business. It wasn't personal. Yeah. It wasn't anything else. And obviously, for Quinn, he has a chance to win a championship now. So, you know, the Eagles are putting their dice on the table to win it all. So, this is a big trade, and we'll see how it works. But anyway, as we move along here, obviously, like I said, the Eagles were on a bye this week. So, just looking at the NFC as we watch. As we look through it, obviously the Giants again won at 6, and now they're 6-1. The Cowboys with Dak return wasn't very impressive offensively, but they did win, as they should have, against a team like the Lions, and they're 5-2. But then you look at Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady; their losing continues. They didn't look impressive either of them, especially Brady, who really got. Beat down against a bad Carolina team that's already waved the white flag on this season, apparently last week. And then the 49ers, you know, like I said, the Rams were on a bye, and then the 49ers got pretty much beat down by the Chiefs. But then again, it is the Chiefs. Most teams are going to get beat down by them. So, as I ask you, looking at the NFC, and obviously I've already mentioned that it's not very deep this year. Who really is the biggest challenge to the Eagles right now? Who would be the biggest challenge? Who's a team that you may not fear, but you would think will give them the toughest matchup from here on out going into January?
Oof. I mean, this is very unusual for me. But my confidence, and the Eagles are so high, I just don't see competition. So it's not this conference. This is theirs. But if I have to pick a team, I'm kind of flipping a coin between Dallas and New York, right in our division. The North, what? The best thing they got is Minnesota. We smacked them around already. Everyone else is trash. The West, garbage too. Besides Seattle, who's got a winning record in there, man. And then they got the South, who's the best teams at 3-4. So what am I looking at that I'm scared of? The conference is theirs. It's the only problem that can happen within the division. And I see the Eagles beating up on the Giants when we meet them way in December. And the Cowboys, we may not even need to beat them by then. So, that's it. I'll put them too.
Well, we all remember the NFC has the easiest schedule in the NFL. They have the all four teams have the easiest schedule to play. And they've taken full advantage of it. I mean, obviously Dallas has looked great defensively, and they've taken advantage of it. And especially the Giants being the biggest surprise at 6-1. And they're not a team that's just dominating teams. They're finding ways to win. That's what's scary about them. They're well coached and they're finding ways to win. Now, if you're telling me that it's a toss-up, I mean, we've already played the Cowboys and we've already played the Vikings. So the Giants would be the team that you kind of wonder when we get to December. And that's when we play them. We don't play them until, what, week 14 or something like that?
Yeah, something crazy.
And I would assume the way their schedule is, they're going to still be in the mix and be a high wild card. So the time with the Eagles is, while we're doing our business and we're doing great right now, we can't step our foot off the gas. Because if we lose a game or two, the Giants doesn't seem like they're going to lose. So we could.
Right.
So we have to be careful with this division. I mean, the Giants are probably. It's going to be very interesting to see what the Giants continue, how they continue. Maybe this momentum and this confidence that they have is obviously going to make them even better. And so far, it's working well. It's obviously working very. It's working very, very well for them. But you can never count out the Cowboys because they have set that great defense, and we obviously have our big matchup on Christmas Eve, which could matter or may not matter. I mean, you're absolutely right, you know. But then again, we weren't that impressed with Dak and this offense. They struggled with the Lions until the fourth quarter. And why, yeah, a win's a win, and they did look better at the end. For three quarters, they struggled with the Lions, and that's not a good look, at home especially. I mean, the Lions are not a very good team when you look at it on the surface. And Dallas struggled with them, and, you know, you've seen that Cooper is not that much of an upgrade, but he took care of the offense a little better than what Dak has done to this point. And it's getting to the point now where how will things look, you know, come there. And then when you look at the rest of the NFC, you're absolutely right. This division, this conference is, like I said, they said it was going to be weak, and they're not joking. I mean, here we are nearly halfway through the season, and Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady are both have teams under 500. Nobody expected that. Nobody. And Tom Brady, like I said last week on this show, looks shot. He looks shot. You saw that game on Sunday with Carolina, or you might have. It was not fun to watch. That was cringeworthy. And to me, you know, people will say that Tom Brady, because of his personal life, is starting to affect him. And maybe that's true. But Brady's starting to slip. He hasn't played well at all this season. You know, he hasn't. There's not one game I've watched this year where he looks like himself. Maybe the Chiefs game, but that was a formality. This is basically what he is. Because, you know, he wouldn't look like this any other year if you're, you know, and it's just starting to get to me that Brady's is finished. He looks finished. And it may come to the point where he may actually miss the postseason. Because look at it this way. Atlanta, yeah, they had a tough loss and they're not that great a team, but they look better than you know, they look better than we thought they would be. So they're a team that could very well pass by the Bucks eventually. And then you look at the NFC West. I mean, they have Seattle as the leader of this division. Now, of course, Seattle has been consistently up in the mix for the last several years, obviously, but it's a new era. No more Russell Wilson. It's Geno Smith. And Geno Smith has never done what he's done now this year. I mean, the Rams, you know, it's still a toss-up to think that Matt Stafford can have the year that he had a year ago. He seems like he has more turnovers than he has touchdowns to this point. And then the 49ers are a disappointment to me right now of any team. If you ask me the biggest disappointment, it's the 49ers. Everybody's talking about, oh yeah, they got the best roster. They have the best defense. But here you are. You lost to the Falcons. You look bad. You look bad in the second half. And then you play the Chiefs at home, and you got stomped on. So, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is who he is. He is who he is. You know, you live and you have to ride or die with him, because of the Trey Lance injury. So, I mean, obviously, I'll sit here and say that this is probably his last year in San Francisco, because you can't keep him around if you're committed to Trey Lance long term, which you probably are since you drafted him. So, to me, when I look at the NFC, and I give you a really good look of who is the biggest threat, at the end of the day, you might be right, Kwame. It might be the Giants. probably more than anybody because we haven't played them yet, and they just seem like a team that just sneaks up on you. They're not doing it cute. They're just doing it like we're the best coach team, and they might be the best coach team in the league right now because they're winning games. They're finding ways to win games. They're coming from behind. You know, Daniel Jones had 4 game from behind victories. I mean, he's fighting for his career, obviously, because he's not guaranteed to be back next year. And then Saquon, like you say, you keep hoping that he gets hurt, but he's not injured yet. So he's still getting it done. So right now, you're absolutely right. Giants are the biggest threat. Giants might be the biggest threat.
Yeah. Speaking of Giants, I see your boy Eli on TV with Stephen A. but yeah, the Giants are, as we said before, and you may have said it just now, that they got a coach they believe in. So I can, even though it's his first year, I can say they're well coached, but, you know, still first year, so I'm figuring it out. But first thing I said about the Giants is that game one, where the coach showed they believed in his team to go for 2. And then they believed in Saquon Barkley to deliver the 2-point conversion to finish the game instead of just tying the game with the extra point. That galvanized the team. Little things like that can galvanize a team or can go the other way, as you've probably seen in Detroit, where those decisions, even though it wasn't so much coaching, negative coaching up there, it's just dumb play by the Lions. It's dumb. But back to the Giants, Saquon is healthy. That's such a huge difference. No one's used to him being healthy. And when he's healthy, boy, can he cut. But watching him yesterday, as a matter of fact, NFL Network got the game on right now. Just watched Danny Dimes. Opening drive, under 5 minutes, boom, touchdown. And Jacksonville came right back, made it 8-7. But Danny Dimes is actually throwing the ball. I thought the recipe for success was for him not to throw, let Saquon do all the running. But there are games where he led the way, not just in throwing, but his rushing is nice. I mean, Danny can run. So the defense is doing a just enough job to keep from looking bad. I don't think they've given up more than 22 points in any game that I can think of. Right now, they're giving up 130s. They're averaging, was that by 7? Under 20 points a game. They're giving up about 18 points a game. That's nice. And so once you've got that going, the offense is doing their thing. Like I said, barely winning, which is actually a good thing because that's showing that they can win in the clutch, that they don't have to blow a team out to get a W, that they know how to do all the dirty stuff they need at the end of the game to win. Unfortunately, when they meet the Eagles with that, we might have to beat them down. But we shall see. But they're our biggest threat because at least they got a real running back if he's still there by December. And the defense is there's nothing shiny about the defense, like with Dallas. You know, you got Diggs, you know, he's big time. So you got superstars on their defense when the Giants defense is kind of almost a no-name D and playing well.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, if the Giants, I think they're going to stick around, and that's one thing we have to, as Eagles, we have to keep winning. We have to keep taking our chances because eventually the Giants' luck could run out if they're playing with house money this way. So, I mean, we'll see what happens here over the next several weeks. But still, a lot to put your into. I'm trying to scramble my words here, but we'll see what happens here. Now, on to the AFC. Just looking at the AFC side. Like I said, the top AFC team is the Buffalo Bills. And like the Eagles, they were idle this past week. But we watched the Chiefs take down the 49ers and look very good at it. Obviously, we watched the Ravens easily. Well, I would say easily, but they somehow survived another blown lead almost to beat the Browns of all teams. And then Tennessee quietly looks like a team that, like they always are, a sleeping giant that could show up in the postseason and cause a lot here. So they had a solid game and they won four straight quietly, and here they are, you know, 4-2 sneaking up here. So, you know, and then the surprising Jets who continues to win in a defensive battle this time, though. Their win was costly, though. We'll get into that here in a moment. The Bengals also come with a big win. So, like I said, if we look at the AFC side, my same question to you is, who's the biggest challenger to the Buffalo Bills on the AFC side of things?
Oh, well, still the Chiefs. Even though, I wish I could find this stat. Well, actually, I kind of remember it. Josh Allen, the last three games against the Chiefs, has thrown three touchdowns each and zero interceptions. Actually, one of them games he had four. So he's had 10 touchdowns to zero interceptions as three games against the Chiefs, two of them on the road. And a little over 300 yards each game. So he's almost got 1,000 yards passing in those three games, 10 touchdowns, zero interceptions. That's beautiful. So he's not scared of the Chiefs. So I would love to see if those two meet again in the playoffs and give us a thrill like they did last year. But beyond the Chiefs, I don't see unless the Dolphins really can recover. Like I said, they gave them the one loss. I can't discount the Jets. The Jets are feeling pretty good, except for the fact that they lost the running back. But, hey, 5-2, man. That's looking kind of nice. So they might have an issue within the division, but outside the division, I don't see an issue, anybody but the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little complicated when you look at the AFC side. I mean, obviously, the Bills and the Chiefs are no surprise. It's not a lot of many surprises like in the NFC. The AFC is a more superior conference, and the Bills and the Chiefs have been at the top for the last few years. Obviously, the Chiefs have been, since Patrick Mahomes came to pastor, that has been the team to beat in that conference. But obviously, you know, they already played in a head-to-head matchup, and it was a great game, and we'll see what happens, you know, as you know, when these two teams probably will meet again when it all comes down to it in an AFC championship scenario. I mean, my Ravens has played okay, and they're getting better defensively, but they have to get better defensively because, you know, if you're going to let Lamar Jackson just run around and do whatever he has to do to keep putting up points, they got to also put up a lot more points because 20 points is not a savior or is not a leisure in this league. You're not going to win with 20 points every week. You're going to have to score at least 30 maximum or minimum to win games if you want to blow out teams. And Ravens seem like they struggled to score points here last few weeks. So they have to, you know, they're lucky that they did not lose another home game. So they're good there. I mean, the Bengals are slowly coming back around. Think about this. While the Eagles might have not trailed in the third quarter or in the second half of a game this year, the Bengals are the only team, the only defense to not allow a touchdown in the second half of a game.
Interesting.
They're the only defense. And that tells me that, you know, they're going to be tough to deal with. Remember, they were kind of, their record was kind of similar at this time a year ago. Nobody was talking about them, and then they blew out my Ravens, and then they start getting some respect, and then all of a sudden they start trimming down the fat in this conference, and then they win against Kansas City, and they went on to win the AFC and nearly win it all. Now, I'm not saying that this Bengals team is as good as that Bengals team, because it's going to be very difficult to think that Bengals team can actually do what they did last year and do what they did on the road against contenders, against the establishment. So, I mean, we'll see. But like I said, I had my Bengals. I had the Bengals in the top five for a reason, and you know, I'm not going to look at like I know what I'm talking about because I do sometimes. The Jets are a very interesting story, but unfortunately, they suffered a big loss with Breece Hall. Looks like Breece Hall was going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. Looked like he was going to run away with it, and obviously have a legit chance at the rushing title. And then he tore his knee up. And then they lost an offensive lineman on top of that.
Yeah.
So obviously they did trade for the backup in Jacksonville, James Robinson, and he's a decent back, and that should help a little bit. But obviously that explosiveness, that's what made Breece Hall so good, was that explosiveness. I mean, Booby Miles, you know, Miles Sanders, he had that early in his career. He had that explosiveness and he ran off, and that's why we drafted him and all that. Breece Hall had that, and now he's gone. Now that's gone, and it's going to really hurt the Jets in a way. I mean, obviously, we'll see what happens as the season goes on. I mean, Robert Saleh, he keeps this up. He's going to have a chance to win Coach of the Year, and he wants to keep this going, you know. But we'll see what happens. I mean, the Jets have been a unique story to this point, and we'll see what happens. But I mean, like I said, I mean, I'm like you. Outside of the Chiefs, I really don't see anybody beating Buffalo at the moment. I mean, Miami, but that was a circumstantial game. You know, it was a circumstantial game. I don't think when they go to Miami goes to Buffalo later in the year, they're going to actually beat them like that. I don't think they're going to just go to do that, you know, because Tua's still recovering from the concussion. I could tell watching him play on Sunday, he wasn't as aggressive as he was early in the season with his receivers. So he's still having a little lingering effect, even though he's healthy again. It's still tough to come back from a concussion, especially when you're a quarterback. So we'll see how that all goes here. Now Matt obviously is not obviously, we have already told you many times, he is on vacation this week, so we won't see him here on the look back. But that doesn't mean he hasn't contributed. And you know what we do here, Kwame, you know what we do here. We talk about our betting lines. He wasn't going to let that go. So this is what Matt, his results were for, he sent it to me yesterday. These are the results he sent.
Oh yeah, and I got them too. And I'm feeling pretty good.
He went 1-1. I went 1-1. And you had a great week. You went unbeaten. So
yes.
Congratulations to you. You look so right now, his record, Matt's records, he still leads at 6-4. I'm at 500 at 5-5. And you are 4-5-1. So it's all good. Now we're gonna have to pick, and I'll send it to him when I redo this video later on in the week. I'm going to send it to him like on Friday or something. But when I look back on listening to the show, I'm just looking snippets. But his picks for this week, we both of us have to make a pick. His picks are the Giants plus 3 as they play.
He's fine doing our game. I mean, doing what we did.
He's playing. Thinking that Seattle, that's going to be a big matchup, obviously. That's the only teams of 500 playing each other this week. And he has the Titans, Nick, minus 2 as they go to Houston. So, like I said, I haven't really looked at my board, so you go ahead with your two picks.
I'm looking at everything right now, as a matter of fact. Wow, the Eagles are favored by 11.
Ooh-wee.
That's a lot of points. The Bills are favored by 11.5 over the Packers. How sad is that? The first time I think that Aaron Rodgers has been a double-digit underdog, I think I heard, ever.
Yes, shockingly. Shockingly, 15 over 15 years into his career.
Ooh-wee.
What I'm going to worried about the Eagles. I mean, we should stop the Steelers. The Bills, Packers, I'm leaving that alone. I'm going to go out to California. I don't know if to search out. Should I do this? I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the 49ers minus the 1.5. It's amazing they're favorite on the road because they always beat the Rams. But the way the 49ers have been playing lately, I just don't want to touch them, but that's such a guarantee these days. And the Rams come off a bye. Like, that is so disrespectful. The more I think about it, that the Rams are home dogs after a bye to a losing team because they can't beat them. That is amazing. So I want to take it. And 49ers don't screw me again. You know, knock me out of my survivor pool.
So you have you have 49ers minus. Yeah.
Which is amazing. No respect for the Rams. And then
I'm actually texting this to him while we're doing this.
Okay.
Just so I don't have to read.
Is this cell pickup entire? Okay. That's great if you can. And I'm gonna stay on the East Coast. And even with the injuries, I'm going with the J-E-T-S, Jets, plus 2.5 over the Patriots. Oh, wow. I was listening to my man, but they can go up in New York. And he has retired, but I haven't been listening in so long, I forgot. I happened to turn it on just when he was on. He called in on the Tiki show. Tiki, apparently, he has his time slot now from 10 to 2 or something. And he was giving Tiki and them the business because he was all jetsed up. And he said they better stop the Patriots. You know, after all these years of having to deal with the Patriots coming down there and beat on them, he said this is the year they better stop them. And for the Jets to be home dogs, another home dog, is disrespectful.
So, all right, so you have the 49ers favorite 1.5, 1.5. And Jets getting 2.5, or dogs of 2.5 at home to New England. Okay. All right, I sent that to Matt here. Now it's my turn. And I'm looking around, and, you know, I finally found two. Obviously, I look at the Cardinals and Vikings game, and I'm not the biggest fan of the Vikings, as you've known if you watch this show. If you listen to this program over the years, I don't like the Vikings at all. So, but that line is a little, I like I said, Cardinals are not a very good team right now. They're not very good on the road. So I'm going to pick the Vikings minus, and you know, winning outright, you know, covering the 3.5 that they're getting. And I'm going to go into the NFC East. For my next one, the Commanders, they're in Indy this week.
Okay.
And like I said, there's a lot of, unfortunately, turmoil in Indianapolis. The Matt Ryan era might be over. Matt Ryan might be done. He might be shot himself. And
that dude's been done for 3 years.
And I could have told you that. I could have told you that when they traded him. You know. And Jim Irsay is a jackass. I'm sorry. He might be a jackass. The fact that you trade for this guy and then you say, "Oh, we're done with him now." This guy doesn't know jack shit about quarterbacks. He had two. One because he had a neck injury. Went to you found Andrew Luck, you know, over Peyton Manning, and then unfortunately, you know, Andrew Luck gets injured and he leaves, and ever since he's left, you haven't really replaced him. Bringing back leftovers and injury, all this. So I'm picking the Commanders plus 2.5. So I'm going to bring my picks in. You know,
looks like just, that. Oh, he's got 2.5. Okay, they got 3 on.
Well, I'm on DraftKings. Okay. So my thing is different.
2.5.
So, mine's is on, you know. All right. I said, hold on here. So I send it to him. All right. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Commanders. I think Washington's going to win there. I do.
They can. Heineke can do it. Oh, Heineke. I just can't trust them on the road. But they might. Like, I didn't trust them in Chicago, but they did pull it off. In a ridiculously low scoring game.
All right, let me...
Okay.
Yeah. Let's hurry. Let me get the plus.
I do expect the Eagles to... They're going to handle the Steelers.
Yeah.
Talking to your boy yesterday, Monday, Mr. Steelers. And he said he understands the Eagles will probably win, but he felt good how the Steelers looked at the end of the Miami game because they shut him out. But I said, okay, maybe they got better. Or maybe Miami has got stupid. I fell asleep, so I missed the second half.
All right, so...
I'm shocked to see the same score.
All right, so we're good there. We're good there. All right, so we got that done. I mean, luckily, I was smart enough to know what I was doing there. All right, let's go to our favorite moment of the week. And you know what that is. Our surprise and disappointments for week 7. You go ahead. I always give y'all the floor before I come up with something.
All right. The surprise. Oh, well, okay. I guess surprise would be positive. I'll go with disappointment. The whole NFC South. My goodness. I mean, Tampa, you were favored by 13, and you lost by 18. That's a 31-point swing. That is huge. You probably won't see that again at all this season. That was an embarrassing display of football. But from top to bottom, you know, from Brady on down, just sad. I mean, you probably all saw the highlight or low light of Brady start of the game. So it was a deep pass to Mike Evans, wide open, and it drops it. That could have changed the way the game, the complexion of the game. He probably still would have lost, but at least he would have had a touchdown. So everybody's just, eh. And it all starts with the head. And it'll start with Brady. And I also got to look at Mr. Bowles, as much as I like him at Temple Grad and all. He appears to have no control. He appears to not have this team. It seems like Brady is the coach and the quarterback, and Brady's not even involved. He's flying up there to talk to, watch his old ass owner get remarried. And how old was this young stuff he married? Well, we'll get into that later.
That's off topic. We keep personal lives out of it and talk about football, only football business.
Well, unfortunately, it's all connected. Because Brady's personal life, with whatever's going on in his house, is affecting what's on the field. And the players realize it. They're not going to be all gung-ho to support him while he's in a funk. So that's the biggest disappointment of the week. Of course, we saw that kind of coming anyway. I didn't see them losing to the Carolina. That was just a team that is trying to give the team away. Their best player was just sent to San Fran. They traded another guy because he got mad at them on Sunday, and they traded him Monday. No wide receiver. You know, they got a new coach. Coach got fired. You can't lose that game. Now, surprise. So far, the surprise of this week was the Bears. What a weird blowing the Patriots 10-0 while the Patriots were playing around with the quarterbacks. Puts Mac Jones in, he stinks, brings Zappi in, bam, bam, they're up 14-10. And then the Bears settled down and shut him out and wound up outscoring them 23-0. So that was the biggest surprise for me.
All right. Well, my surprise this week is obviously the Seahawks being and Geno Smith being in first place. And we're approaching halfway. I mean, nobody saw that coming. You didn't see it coming. Matt Damshore didn't see it coming. I mean, you got to give a lot of credit. I mean, to me, Pete Carroll would be in the hoping for Coach of the Year, too, because, you know, it wasn't an easy divorce to lose Russell Wilson, who's been the franchise guy for a decade and did everything but win an MVP there. But obviously, Geno Smith, he's showing that he still has a lot of game, and why not? He has been basically a backup for most of his career anyway, you know? And obviously, it's worked out, you know? He could have a good run here, you know? Like I said, Seattle was a job that, in August, five different quarterbacks, and half of them weren't even on the roster, or never made the roster, or even were even put on the roster, could have been the starter. But Geno Smith won the starting job, and so far, he's given them a benefit. And, you know, 49, I mean, like I said, Seattle's doing a great job right now, and they have a legit chance here in a weak NFC to get it done. So we'll see what happens. But they have to, they you know, it's going to be difficult, but you keep this up, you know, with the 49ers and the Rams. I don't know about the Cardinals, but like I said, they're doing what they're doing. And my disappointment is obviously going to the Monday night game, but in reverse, the Patriots. And I don't know what the hell Belichick was thinking. Here's how you can kill a team's momentum and a quarterback's career. I didn't even know Mac Jones was even going to play in that game, but he was activated. He just, out of nowhere, was activated and got the start. Bailey Zappe has been a breath of fresh air for the Patriots and is the reason, one of the very few players on this team that's kept them relevant this season. So, okay, you start Mac Jones. He wasn't ready. He looked sluggish, and he got picked off and turned over twice. And then you bring in Zappe, who had a great start, but because he wasn't prepared to not be starting, look lost and got destroyed by a Bears defense that went almost 1985 on them. I mean, to me, Belichick is starting to lose his edge too, just like Brady has. But then again, if you take away Brady. Belichick never really had that edge anyway. He just was a great defensive guy, and that's it. And it's unfortunate that Patriot fans had to deal with that. And in a division where everybody else is over 500 and doing very well, you're the odd team out. We're going to see how good the Patriots really are this weekend. They're playing the Jets, and we're going to see how good they really are. But I don't think they're very good, and I think there's a lot of... The ceiling is more closer than the roof. So at this point, Patriots fans better buckle up because it may not go well from here. You know, they might have been exposed to a degree on Monday, and it might be on Belichick's head. All right.
Okay.
Like I said, Matt and I, we end this program with picking games. You have picked games on these Wednesday look backs. I know you're only suited to pick games in the postseason when you're brought on full time for the postseason. But obviously, I have to pick some games here. I'm obligated by the contracts that I've wrote and been okay. Sold to by some odd attorneys. You know, hell. We have to pick two games here. So the first game we're going to pick, obviously, is the Thursday night game, the big one. And it's a big one. It's the first big Thursday night matchup of the season, at least since opening their first Thursday night Amazon deal. Obviously, for the Bucks, it's been not good sailing. Three straight losses for Tom Brady, or two straight losses for Tom Brady, I think. It's not looked good. Brady has looked terrible, and this Bucs team looks terrible, and injuries and everything else. Well, they're home on a short week against my second favorite team, my Ravens, who in the last two meetings in Tampa has blown out the Buccaneers. The last two times they played there, they love playing in Tampa when they get the opportunity. But like I said, Lamar Jackson, that a defense that is improving and everything else. This could get ugly if the Ravens curb stomp them, and they know how to curb stomp Brady because they're one of the few that knows how to play Brady very well. So go ahead with this matchup.
Okay.
No, I always go last. You know, you're experienced enough.
After all that, I thought you made it. You were coming down to pick. All right, I'll go first, and I'll be real quick. Ravens. There's nothing about the Buccaneers I like. And so, I dislike road Thursday night teams, but Ravens are that much better right now. So give me the Ravens plus the one.
All right, give me a score then.
All right. They'll make it 24-17.
Well, like I said, it doesn't look good for Tampa. They've just not looked great the last couple of weeks, and then you kind of hope that this past Sunday was rock bottom. And now they come off a short week. They're home. Obviously, Matt's not going to be at the game because he's not here. But, you know, that's his adopted hometown, obviously. So he doesn't live far from the stadium in Largo. But obviously, this is a very tough situation for Tampa Bay because they're looking at potentially losing the division lead this weekend if they lose this. And this is not the best matchup for them because they're playing a Ravens team that, when they have the momentum and they keep the momentum, they can beat anybody. And Lamar Jackson is having a great time, and they're rushing, they're running the ball. I don't like Tampa's chances at all in this game. I think this is going to be tough to watch. Like I said, Thursday night games, like you said, has been terrible this year, and you're absolutely right. So at the end of the day, I'm going with my Ravens as well. Unlike you, I think this is going to be a beatdown. This is not going to be good. You have it as a close score. I don't. So the final score for me is 36-24.
Okay.
All right. Now the next one is about Matt's favorite coach in the NFL, Nathaniel Hackett, but he might go down, unfortunately, as one of the shortest term coaches in recent NFL history because the rumor going around, and this is a big rumor. And it's going around, it's on ESPN as well, that if they don't beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in London on Sunday before a pack people who will watch 10 on stream, not at the stadium, there'll be a big crowd there, obviously, because they like the NFL, they like our American football over there in England. The fact is, he could be fired. He might be gone. And I know that would bring music to Matt's ears to see that happen because he can't stand this coach, not even for a second. He's been blasting this coach since our preview show. He knows a little bit more than I do about how bad this coach is. And it's been a mimicking disaster. And Russell Wilson didn't play last week. And Mark Rippon's nephew is playing. If you know who Mark Rippon is, his nephew, is Brett Rippon, is been calling the game. I mean, or getting the start. He's going to get the start again. Okay. But like I said, these are two struggling teams. The other team is 2-5, obviously, and that's Jacksonville as well. They started off 2-1. They've lost their last four, and they're going to not look good. But this is their adopted home game because they always get a home game every year in London. So go ahead with this matchup.
Well, another game I can't stand is the London games. So I, for like you that just said that Jacksonville, this is their home away from home because their owner, Shaka Khan, that's his other home. So they always play at least that one game over there. So they'll feel comfortable. Denver, wow. So disappointing. Got two and five teams playing each other. And it's a 2.5-point spread. So the twos and the fives are in there. I don't know what to say about this game. I'm always bewildered with London games. I don't know who handles the travel better or what have you. Jacksonville, they're so disappointing. Four-game skid. After they went to L.A. and beat the snot out of the Chargers, they had won a game since. And they look bad, losing. Coming to Philly, forcing four fumbles from the quarterback, snatching interceptions from them. And they lost to the Titans at home. So I don't know why I have any faith in them. The Broncos, Russell coming back? What? What's the deal?
Well, he has a hamstring injury, so he's going to be out for, they said it's partially torn as well, so he might be out for a while.
All right, so he's out. Oh, gosh.
Don't think he's going to make the trip overseas. I don't think Sierra's going to allow it.
Since you are metaphorically putting a gun to my head, I have to pick this garbage. I'm going to go with Jacksonville. For no other reason than it's home.
All right, give me a score. Give me a score.
9-7.
Wow. You think it's going to be that bad? 9-7. I would assume that the Phillies and Astros in the World Series will have better score than that. Well, yeah, this is not a good football game, as Matt would say, a garbage game. And yeah, Nathaniel Hackett, he's done nothing but pissed off. You know, he's basically become McDaniels, Josh McDaniels part version 2.0 here, where he's alienating things and things aren't going well. I mean, this is his eighth game as a head coach, and it might be his last, and he may have to go back to the learning tree after this. The flight home will not be perfect. It may not be. They might do him like Lane Kiffin did when he lost a job at UFC. He couldn't even take the bus back from a beatdown. He had to hitchhike somewhere. It could be that bad. And I mean, Jacksonville, they'll be motivated. I mean, I think they're an okay team, but obviously they have struggled the last couple of weeks. Obviously. You know, it's amazing how far they've fallen since that beatdown they gave the Chargers in week 3. And now here we are a month later, and they haven't won a game since. And here they are just looking like Jacksonville as they are. But I think they'll win this game. I think they'll win, and they'll win comfortably. I think they'll get their act together. Though, there is good news if you're a Broncos fan, and if they do change the head coach and Russell does come back healthy and motivated, they do have one of the top. They do have a top 10 defense, and that obviously will keep them in this game. But I agree with you. I think that Jacksonville's going to win this game. I don't think it's going to be as crappy a score as you have it. I think they'll put some points up. So Jacksonville wins, and the final score 24-16.
That's very nice of you. And I have to amend my score. Either I'm going to have to pick Denver as the winner because that's 2.5 points. Or I'll make Jacksonville 10-7.
All right, 10-7. That's fine. But anyway, like I said, with Matt being gone, he won't be on Sunday when we preview the games here. I'm pretty much going to be going solo. I mean, you said you might be interested, but we always do it an hour before the game. So
at noon?
Yeah, we all, you know, and you're busy at that point. You're obviously busy, so...
We'll talk Saturday.
You want to talk Saturday?
No, I'm saying we'll just let me know. I'll let you know Saturday how Sunday looks.
All right. Well, like I said, we always do it before the game. So, you know,
okay.
It's been that way for the last couple of years. So, but if not, I will do it solo. I'm not afraid to do it solo. I've done it before on a couple occasions. It's all good. And then join us. We know Kwame will be back here on Wednesday, but Matt will be back next Wednesday. And he'll obviously have a lot to look at. I mean, I'm sure he'll watch the games from Thailand when he's not busy doing whatever he does in Thailand. But, hell, yeah, he's having a ball out there. But anyway, like I said, we will join you later this week, probably on Sunday, if Kwame wants to help out with the games, or I just do it solo. We'll see. But we'll join y'all on Sunday, and then we'll be back to look back on week 8 of the season with the look back next Wednesday. So have a good night. Enjoy whatever the crap games are going on, whatever the games is. And we'll talk. And I will definitely talk to you Sunday.